So we have been doing, it's been a while since we had a Tuesday night shiur, but we've been doing sugyas related to the Daf Yomi, and we are learning Maseches Yuma, and although most of what we've been learning is about the Avodas Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, and there is plenty of Torah on that, on the Avodas Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, I thought we would do a more Halacha L'maisa topic for Bizman Hazeh, Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayam. And that is a very well-known Gemara that comes up in Yuma Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph that we learned just under a week ago. The Gemara tells us about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, and parenthetically, while it's talking about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, tells us about Kimchis as well. So says the Gemara, Amru Alava, this is source number one on page 3, Amru Alava Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis Shayachof and Arbaos Kavim b'mlo Chafnav. Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis had very large hands. He was able to take 4 Kavim in his Melo Chafnav. The Melo Chafnav is when the Kohen Gadol would take the Ketores for the Haktara, Lefnai v'Lefnim and Yom HaKippurim. So he would dig both of his hands into the bowl of Ketores and pull out the 2 hands full of Ketores to use. So it says about this is the right one here. So it says about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis that he was able to take 2 full handfuls out of it. Va'omer he said that all of the women had a certain vigor and a certain nutrition when they were pregnant, but my mother was the best, and that's why she had such a strong child. Different possibilities of what exactly made him so strong. So the Gemara goes on to tell us, not only was Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis an important person, the Gemara tells us that he was from an important family, that he had a lot of important family members. In the end of the 4th line, Omer lo Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, Pamacha Siper Devarim Mimarav Yechad Beshuk, this Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis was talking to an Arab once in the market, V'natza Tzinora Mipiv Al Begadav, and a little saliva shot out of the Arab's mouth and went on the Begadim of Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. V'nichnas Yeshev Avachiv V'shimesh Tachtav, and Yeshev of his brother served as a Kohen Gadol in his stead. So right away you see that he wasn't the only Chashuv member of his family. He had a brother who was roy to be the Kohen Gadol. So his brother became the Kohen Gadol. V'rasi iman shnei Kohanim Gadolim b'yomecher. And it also tells you something about the mother, that Kimchis was so special, she got to see 2 Kohanim Gadolim on a single day serve as Kohen Gadol amongst her own children. Her 2 sons were Kohanim Gadolim. But it's even more than that. One time he was talking to an important government official out in the market. And again some saliva shot out of his mouth and ended up on Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis's begadim. And again we're assuming this happened on Yom Kippur. Rashi says this was on Yom Kippur, the most important day. The Kohen Gadol needs to stay tar. It's a big discussion in the Rishonim. Other Rishonim say Yom Kippur, what the heck was he doing out in the marketplace on Yom Kippur? He's the Kohen Gadol, he needs to be there. Okay, so maybe he had some sort of business, he had to be there. V'nichnas Yosef Vachiv for Klal Yisrael. V'nichnas Yosef Vachiv v'shimesh tachtav. And Yosef, his brother, took over for him as the Kohen Gadol that day. Notice, it wasn't Yeshevav. This was a different brother now that took over. So not only did this mother, Kimchis, had 2 sons who were right to be Kohanim Gadolim, she had 3 sons who were right to be Kohanim Gadolim. V'ras imat shnei Kohanim Gadolim b'yom echad. And again, she saw 2 Kohanim Gadolim on the same day. Tanur Rabbanu, the Gemara quotes a brisa, that it was even more than that. It wasn't 1, it wasn't 2, it wasn't 3 sons that were right to be Kohanim Gadolim, but Shiva Banim Hayu Lala Kimchis, V'kulon Shimshu B'kuna Gadola. Kimchis had 7 sons, and they were all Mishamish Bakuna Gadola. They all ultimately became Kohen Gadol, whether it was only, we don't know for how long, maybe it was only for a day, substituting for their brother, who was Tameh for a little bit. But for however long it was, all 7 sons became Kohanim Gadolim. Amru lo Chachamim, ma asiso shezachisa lekach. So the Chacham said to her, what did you do that you were zocha lekach? What did you do so right to raise 7 sons to be Kohanim Gadolim? Right, that's what sometimes we ask parents who have 1 child after another, who's a better bal midos and a more wonderful child. What are you doing? What are you doing so right? And very often it's a zuchus of the parent, some special zuchus that they have. So Amr Lahem, so she said to them, I'll tell you what I did so special. Miyamei lo ro'u koros besi kile sa'ari. In all of my days, my house never saw, the walls of my house never saw my uncovered hair. So she was such a tznuah, she had such a level of tznius, that the walls of her house never saw her hair uncovered. Amrula, so they said to her, you think that's the zechus? Har be'asu kein v'lo hu'ilu. A lot of people have tried that and it hasn't quite worked for them. But she felt intuitively that that was her zechus. The Marsha writes that, why did they assume it was her zechus? Why, maybe it was her husband's zechus? So Marsha says they knew her husband and they knew it wasn't his zechus. But whoever he was, they knew that he didn't do anything so good. So it must have been her zechus. It was her special zechus that she had. And that's what she identified as the special zechus. There's a discussion in the Achronim, what do we make of that last line when they say to her, a lot of other people did it and it didn't work? Does that mean you're wrong, that that's not the zechus because a lot of other people tried and it didn't work? Or do they mean to say that that may be the zechus, but you must have had other zechuyos as well, because other people had other zechuyos that apparently other people didn't have it happen to them? Or maybe they just mean to say, you're right that that's the zechus, but it's still not a guarantee, because who knows what the cheshbonos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are. Why he chooses to reward some people with wonderful children, other people with wonderful parnasa, other people with wonderful other things. Well, we don't know what the cheshbonos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are, why he decides to do things in a certain way. Be that as it may, at least from her point of view, she identified that as her special zechus. So I thought it would be a good time to talk about the chiyuv of women to cover their hair, since that's related to the daf. Now, this isn't about a chiyuv. It is pretty clear that this is a midas chasidus, that this is a beyond the level of chiyuv. In fact, there's even a discussion in the Achronim whether it's literal, even this extra midas chasidus, that miyamei l'ro'u koros besi kilei sa'ari, is it literal that the walls of her house, that she would never change her headdress without having some curtain around her or something? So they say the chazid one of the Chazanish Svarim, in one of the Paradar, one of the Stipler Svarim, it says that the Chazanish's mother never, even she used to have women hold a curtain around her when she would wash her hair, that she would never, Koros Beso, literally, she would never have Koros Beso see her uncovered hair. And she attributed having, she didn't have seven Kohanim Gedolim, but she had one Chazanish. That's, I gotta imagine, that's as good as seven Kohanim Gedolim, to have one Chazanish. But she obviously took it very, very literally. I forgot to mention, I wanted to dedicate tonight's learning al zechus refua shlema for, I think the name is Amalia Bas Pnina, a young girl in the community who's in the hospital and is in need of a refua shlema. So yeah, Amalia Bas Pnina. So that, I thought that would be a good time to discuss the idea of women covering their hair. Now, before we get into the discussion in general from a halachic perspective, Rav Shechter has a very interesting ha'ara in Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, in his first Sefer. Rav Shechter writes, I included some photocopies of it in the back of the packet, toward the end of the packet. He points out that there is an unusual minhag that we find, that even people who generally are not so careful about covering their hair, or even not so careful about other tznius issues in general. This is toward the back of the packet on page Tzadihei of Eretz HaTzvi, at the bottom of page Tzadihei in Eretz HaTzvi. So even those who are not generally so careful about general tznius issues, people who don't cover their hair, people who, whatever it might be, the women who never wear stockings or things like that. So he says, for some reason, the minhag Yisrael was, at least in America for many, many years, for decades, that when women went to shul, they covered their hair and they wore stockings. That was that when you go to shul, in shul they always had the little doilies outside or something. They'd have a hat, something to cover their hair, and they put on stockings. A lot of times in the younger generation, you find that all the women are covering their hair all the time. But you find that when it comes to shul, they're not as tsenua as their mothers are. That their mothers, even though technically their mothers don't keep all of the exact gedarim of what we would define as the book of tsenius, if you would put the mother and the daughter side by side, you would see that a lot of times the younger generation isn't, even if they are covering the hair, maybe not always careful enough about the general atmosphere of tsenius, certainly in a shul. We don't find that they raise the game a little bit for the shul, sometimes the opposite. So where does this feeling come from, this sense come from that shul is different? So one could say, well, okay, that's a terrible thing. They think that the religion stops at the door of the synagogue or starts at the door of the synagogue and that it's not really, it doesn't come from a Torah source. Rav Shechter says, Minhag Yisrael Torah, although it's incorrect to not be makban and tznius in general, there is a basis for the idea of dafkin, the Beis HaKnesses, to be extra makbid about tznius. And he says, he points out on the top of page Sadivav, our Gemara, this Gemara in Yuma, the Maseches Yuma, Tanu Rabbanan, Shiva Banim Ha'ilo L'Kivchis, and etc. That the seven sons became Kohanim Gedolim because the walls of her house never saw her uncovered hair. And about the seventh line of that paragraph, the Gemara, Rav Shechta points out, Hare Misbar Midivrei Abraisa. What we see from this Abraisa is She'inyan Hatznius. That there's a direct connection between tznius and hashra'as hashchina. That tznius causes hashra'as hashchina. The hishva pirush Rashi ala Torah leparshas Truma ala pasuk vechafalta seyaria shishas el mul pnei ha'ol doma lekala tznua hamechusa betzayif al paneha. When we describe the curtain that covers the ol moed, so the Rashi gives what the mashal he gives like a kala tznua. Why are you talking about a girl's tznius when we're talking about the makom hashras hashchina, the mishkan? Why are we talking about a kala tznua? Because tznius apparently leads to hashras hashchina. V'tzorach yin kabanaso. Otherwise, difficult to understand what Rashi's talking about. V'ulai zera tzaloma. Maybe that's what he means to say. D'bizchus ha-tznius zachu l'gili hashchina v'mishkan. It's the tznius that led to the zchus of the shchina, the mishkan. V'yisodin yin zem isbar l'hedya barshki teitzei. He says barshki teitzei is explicit like this. What does the pasuk say? V'lyir b'cha ervas davar v'shav me'acharecha. That v'lyir b'cha ervas davar, what's the next word? V'shav me'acharecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu will turn away from us. D'i ha-tznius, lack of tznius, garim l'silu kashchina, causes the shchina to go away. Vishra Mashevi Rashi ala Pasuk Parshas Matos. Hein heina hayu l'bnei Yisrael b'dvar Bilam. Sharmale Bilam. Bo v'asiyacham eitzah. Bilam said, you need advice about how to make Klal Yisrael stumble. I'll give you advice. Elokeim shel elu sonei zimahu. The God of these people hates znus. Sha'af umos ha'olam yadu yisod zah. Apparently Bilam was aware of this yisod. If you want God to abandon Klal Yisrael, Shapritzus goremes l'silu kashchina miklal Yisrael. Pritzus causes the silu kashchina from Klal Yisrael. So then he says, maybe that minag Yisrael, that women have, are extra tznua in a Beis HaKnesses, makes sense. What's a Beis HaKnesses? It's a mikdash ma'at. It's a miniature Beis HaMikdash. It's a place where we look for hashra'as hashchina. So in the place where we look for hashra'as hashchina, there should be extra levels of tznius beyond what a person normally practices outside of the shul. Unless one think, yeah, I'm giving a men's shiur. Great to talk about tznius so the men could tell their wives about tznius. Lest you think that way, says Rav Shechter, we have to understand what tznius is. Ubagdaras inyan tznius tovim ha'olam. A lot of people make a mistake about what tznius means. Ki choshem shakol kulo einu ela l'kisoy mekomos ha'erva shabasra guf. People think tznius is about covering certain areas of the body. Says you can't deny that that's part of it, but that's all it is. That is a part of the concept of tznius. The concept of tznius is much, much bigger than certain parts of the body, than exactly where on the neckline and where on the legs and where it has to be covered. It's a lot more than that. How so? Dine isa b'medrash tanchuma sof parsh kisisa. Haluchos harishonos al shenitnu b'pumbi, l'fichach sholta b'mayin harav v'nishtabru. Because the first luchos were given with great fanfare and with great publicity, that's why the ayin hara was able to get the best of them and they were broken. V'kan amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein lecha yafa min atznius. So Hashem says the best way to do things is in a tznua way. Shneem aroma Hashem doresh b'mcha kim asem mishpat v'avas chesed v'atznei aleches im Hashem elokecha. V'ayin Gemara Sukkah shomer al pasuk anal shebenevuos Hoshea, that the Gemara Sukkah comments on that pasuk in Hoshea, v'alo dvarim kal v'chomer. Umadvar, that's, by the way, that's in the Haftorah, I think, for Parshas Balak, if I'm not mistaken. So umadvarim shedark al nasosim b'farhesya. Amra Torah Tznei Aleches, if things that we do publicly, that are normal to do publicly, still the Torah says, Vatznei Aleches, Hashem Elokecha, Dvarim Shadarka Nasosim B'tzina Aleches Kama V'kama. Things that we normally do B'tzina, all the more so we have to do B'tznius. So what do you see? The concept of tznius they're using, and it's not talking about women, it's not talking about dress, it's not talking about clothing, it's talking about behavior. the way a person does things. Do we do things with fanfare? Do we do things in a public way? Or do we do things in a private way? So the yesod of tznius is that every person, men, women, everybody, lives a life of tznius, their individual lives, b'derech tznius. He says maybe that explains the idea that, which by the way, this message is an extremely difficult message. The younger you are, the more difficult this message is to understand, because it's antithetical to everything that pretty much every innovation in technology tells us. Meaning, every innovation in technology, Twitter and Facebook and everything, is advertise everything. Everything that's going on in your life should be advertised to as many people as possible. And the more people you can advertise it to, the more fake friends you have, or the more fake followers you have, the more people you can advertise it, the more special you are. And that's like a status, that's a status symbol. So that's, it's a very hard message for people to hear, that, you know, sometimes we're supposed to just be private all the time. We're supposed to live private lives. We're not supposed to be out there in the public and have every last thing we do advertised. But he says a lot of people make a mistake, and they think that the reason women are not mitzarif to a minyan is because the Chachmei HaTorah consider women to be like an Eved. An Eved is not mitzarif to a minyan. A woman's not mitzarif to a minyan. And just like women and Avnashim Avadim are part of mitzvah Asei Shazman Grama, so they view women as being somewhat less, having less Kedusha. So Rav Shachter says, Shamati mi Rabbeinu Agrid Salvechik Shlita Nazatzal. He said, I heard from the Rav, She'ein Adavar Kein, that's not so. He says, certainly women have every bit the Kedushas Yisrael that men have. They happen to be pater from mitzvah Shazman Grama, but in the level of Kedushas Yisrael, they certainly have every bit the Kedushas Yisrael. Neve Kanani only has a mikzas Kedushas Yisrael. He's chayiv in mitzvos ki'isha, but his Kedusha is nowhere near that of an Isha in Eved Kanani. And Eved Kanani only has a small Kedusha Yisrael. So that's why when it comes to Mitzvah Shazman Grama, and Eved Kanani, when it comes to Mitzvah Shazman Grama that he's pater from, that Eved Kanani's pater from, he has a din of a guy. When a woman wants to do Mitzvah Shazman Grama, she's a Jew doing the mitzvah. It's just that she's not chayiv in the mitzvah. She's volunteering the mitzvah. When an Eved Kanani does a Mitzvah Shazman Grama, he has the din of a guy. It's not a nafkamina, he says, would be what the Ramah says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that we paskin, that Ashkenazim paskin, like that women are allowed to make a bracha on Mitzvah Shazman Grama. What about an Eved? Can an Eved make a bracha on Mitzvah Shazman Grama? So the answer is no. Why can a woman make a bracha on Mitzvah Shazman Grama? So the Rambam says she can't, because how could she say it? Shem Shem says Vitzivanu. She's not mitzvah in the mitzvah. It's Mitzvah Shazman Grama. She's parted from it. But why does Rabbeinu Tam say that she can? And this is what Ashkenazi women do. They make a bracha on lulav. They make a bracha on sukkah. They make a bracha on all the Mitzvah Shazman Grama, even the ones that they're parted from. Why? Because Vitzivanu is true of us as a unit, as Klal Yisrael. And they are definitely card-carrying members of Klal Yisrael with every bit the Kedushas Yisrael that their husbands have and that their sons and fathers have. They're every bit, and the brothers have, they're every bit the members of Klal Yisrael. But Avadim don't have any Kedusha of Klal Yisrael in terms of Mitzvah Shazman Grama. They mamish have a din of a guy when it comes to Mitzvah Shazman Grama. So Avadim can't make a bracha asher kidushan b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. So why is it then that women can't count to a minyan? If it's not discrimination, and it's not that the Torah hates women, and it's not all of these ideas that you hear in the media. So what is it? Why is it that women are pater? So he says that women don't mitzarif to a minyan. So he writes, so l'gabe tziruf l'minyan, when it comes to combining to a minyan, hu inyan acha l'gamri, it's a totally different story. Dinei Rashba v'aritva v'resh mesechus nida v'yu das ha-sovrim da'af l'din safek tumah b'rashus ha-rabin. Even when it comes to the din, that when there's a safek tumah in Rashus Rabin, the halacha is, safek, when it comes to sfekos in halacha, it really depends what area of halacha we're talking about. When you have a safek in Isra v'hetter, so then we have a very clear rule, safek da'araisa l'chumma, safek da'rabana l'kula. When you have a safek in dine mamnis, also a clear rule, hamotzi mechavero, alav araya, safek in dine mamnis. What about a safek in tumah tahara? So in tumah tahara, there are three. These are the three areas of Torah: bin dam ladam, bin din ladin, bin nega lanega. Dam ladam is isra v'hetter, din ladin is dine mamnis, and nega lenega is tumah and tahara. So when it comes to tumah and tahara, the rule is safek tumah rishus harabim is tahar. So what do we call rishus harabim? What's called the rishus harabim to define safek tumah rishus harabim tahar? So it's not the same as like by Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, when we try to figure out rishus harabim d'oraisa, where you can't make an eruv, so rishus harabim d'oraisa is if according to some rishonim, if 600,000 people pass there each and every day. So maybe there are some couple of cities in the world that have such a thing as a Rishus HaRabim Da'araisa. But by Safek Tumah, it doesn't work that way. By Safek Tumah, the gather of Rishus HaRabim is Dafka, three men, not three women, three men. Why? Is that a function of Kedusha? Is that a function of importance? What is it? Why three men? So he says it's based on the concept the Gemara has that Me'a Nashi is Ketrei Gavri Damyan. That 100 women is like two men. So what? Chauvinistic again? What's the Gemara saying? 100 women is like two men. So he says, "Ubibir inyan zed nira loman." He says, "I think the explanation is as follows: the beis ofani birchas hazimun yesh. The lufam michova, lufam rishus. There are two types of birchas hazimun. Where does three come in terms of making a unit? For zimun, it comes in. So there's zimun that's a chiyuv, and there's zimun that's rishus. Ulahavu zimun dechova." The inyan shama chalos shem chabura shel gimel, o chalos shem tzibur shel yud. In order to have zimun that's a chiyuv, you need a chalos shem group. Now, a group could be a small group, a chabura of three, or it could be a large group. It could be a minyan of a tzibur of 10. But by nashim, even though each one individually, each woman individually, is considered chashuv and is considered to be have the same kedusha as any individual man. But that siruf of a rabin, that siruf of chabura, is not created when women get together. Why? Every person is supposed to live a life of tznius, which means a private life. But sometimes the halachas koveya certain dinim of a tzibur. So al karchenu, men sometimes have to step out of that private life and have to do what's uncomfortable for us, which would be uncomfortable for a Jew, and be more public. And when we step out of that private life and act more publicly, we create that sense of chabura, we create that sense of a group. But the Torah was more makpid on privacy and on a life of tznius, kol kvud debas melech penima, for a woman than for a man. So the Torah never allows that a woman would step out of that private life where she would have the ability to create that sense of chabura, that sense of minyan, because the Torah is so makbid on her kedusha that her kedusha needs to remain in the ideal and not in the very much b'di'eved, which even for men is very much a b'di'eved, that because of certain halachos we have to step outside of that general sense of privacy and modesty, which is essentially what we're always supposed to be, with that sense of privacy and modesty. Okay, that was the hashkafa portion, I guess, for tonight's year. But I really wanted to get into some of the halachic inyanim when it comes to. Now, obviously, I cut down this packet a lot. Originally, I put it together and it was like 35 pages. I started cutting it down a little bit, but there's a lot more to say than we could ever cover in a small amount of time. But maybe we'll at least get our feet wet in this sugya of women of married women covering their hair. So first off, what we see from the Gemara in Yuma, even though it's not the primary halachic source, what we see from the Gemara in Yuma is that this issue is something that when one is more machmir about, so sometimes in halacha, when someone is more machmir, we say it's a minak shtus, it's a chumri yaseira, it's silly to be machmir, you know, it's a chumra maybe lide kula, we say all sorts of things. Essentially, not every chumra is appropriate. But the Gemara is perhaps being megala to us that chumras in this area are appropriate. That chumras in this area we don't look down upon. That a chumra is still a chumra. It's still not required. I remember right after I got married, I was asking around. I asked a bunch of people. My wife wanted to know if she mechuyev to cover her hair in front of her father. Is she mechuyev to cover her hair in front of her brother? No one ever taught this in seminary. Who she has to cover her hair? She knew, straight, you know, men from outside the family. What about inside the family? What about her brother? What about her father? So what I found when I asked around the base manager is that everyone assumed it was a davar pashut. Just half the people assumed it was a davar pashut that she did, and half the people assumed it was a davar pashut that she didn't have to. So I was asking around. So I was at a family bar mitzvah, and I saw Rav Reuven Feinstein. So I asked him what he thought. And he said, Kimchis, Kimchis. So I, at the time, I hadn't learned that Gemara in Yuma yet, so I didn't really know what he was talking about. But I later realized that what he meant to say was, it's a chumrah. It's a chumrah, a good chumrah. All the chumras are good chumras. But he thought it was a chumrah. Now, I don't remember if it was about the father that he thought was a chumrah, not the brother, or he thought both were a chumrah. I don't know. But I think Rabbi Willick said, the brother, she should, the father, she doesn't have to. It's Rashefta said, I don't know, classic Rashefta, what do my daughters do? They cover their hair in front of me. Okay, I guess she should. So, but I'm never really sure if that's really what's going through his head as he's saying those words. But so this isn't the primary halachic source. The primary halachic source is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara, the Mishnah in Yuma, talks in the context of a woman. Well, there are two really, and there's another Gemara I forgot to even include in the Gemara Mekamos. There's a Gemara in Brachos also. The Gemara says, Sar B'Isha Erva, that Sayar B'Isha, the hair of a woman, is considered to be Erva. But the Gemara in Ksuvas talks specifically in the context of Maseches Ksuvas, which is all about a woman losing her Ksuba, meaning what does she have to do? The rule by Ksuba is really a pretty straightforward rule. The rule is not that she who does bigger averos loses her ksuba and she who does lesser averos does not lose her ksuba. A woman could be mechal shabbos, she does not lose her ksuba. Not that she's allowed to be mechal shabbos, but she could be chayv skila, do averos she's chayv skila for, she's not going to lose her ksuba. The rule by ksuba is very, very straightforward. If she ruined the marriage, she loses her ksuba. If he ruined the marriage, she doesn't lose her ksuba. I mean, ksuba is being paid because they're getting divorced. So it depends who, or if he died, obviously. But it depends who ruined the marriage. If she's the one that ruined the marriage, so then she doesn't get her ksuba. So how do we define ruining the marriage? So it's not based. She could be Michal Shabbos and still be very supportive of him learning in Kaival, and be very happy with him. And this, that's not ruining the marriage. She's still a very nice wife and cooks some kosher food all the time. She just happens to really like to drive her car on Shabbos. So that's not called ruining. That's crazy, but it's not called ruining the marriage. What's called ruining the marriage? So the Mishnah says, "Ve'elu yotzal shelo b'ksuba." The following women go out without a ksuba. Hoveres al das Moshe v'Yehudis. A woman violates das Moshe v'Yehudis. Ve'ezu hi das Moshe. What is das Moshe? Ma'achilaso she'enu mu'usar. She feeds him food that didn't have chumas and mice was taken from it. Meaning the problem is not that she eats not kosher. Let her eat not kosher all she wants. She's feeding him non-kosher food. Mishamashto nida. She's having tashmish amita with him while she is in Ida. She's not going to the mikvah. So that's affecting him. That's affecting their connection. It's affecting their husband-wife relationship. V'lo kotzala chala. Maybe she's not being mafresh chala from her dough. V'no deres ve'inu mekayemes. She takes nedarim and doesn't fulfill, doesn't keep her nedarim. Why is that ruining a marriage if she doesn't keep her nedarim? So that you have to know another Gemara. What?
Took a neder to marry him, I don't know.
No, that's not a neder. That's a Goyish concept. Yes. The concept of vows is that's not.
Really
yeah, that's not. That's only on TV. The nederes ve'inu mekayemes, because the Gemara Nedarim says that an isha nadranis, that if a woman takes nedarim, bavo nedarim banim mesum k'shem ketanim, that because of nedarim children die when they're young, Rachman al Tzlan. So we that's why we do our Taras Nedarim in the Yemei Hadin. We don't want any Nedarim on our plate going into Yemei Hadin where the stakes are so high. So that ruins the whole family life if she's taking Nedarim. So that could ruin the whole family life. So that's Nedarim Sein Mekemes. Ve'ezu Das Yehudis. And what is the violation of Das Yehudis? Yotza V'rosha Perua. She goes out with her head, Pasha translation, uncovered. V'tova b'shuk, she's doing some malacha in public, which is done in a non-snua way. U'medaberes im kaladam, she speaks inappropriately to men in a public way. Abishal omer afa mekalelas yoldov b'fanav, she curses out his parents constantly. That's certainly considered to be something that could ruin their relationship. Rabbi Tarfon omer afa kalanis, she's very loud. The Mishnah says, "What does it mean very loud?" Shema davers b'toch peso shchena shomun kola. That during means doesn't mean stam that she yells at the children loudly. It means or that she yells at her husband loudly. It means that during tashmish that she's extremely expressive in such a loud way that the neighbors hear it, which is obviously very much not tsanua. So the Gemara starts harping on this idea of yotzav rosha perua. What's going on over here, yotzav rosha perua? So it says the Gemara, Vezu Yidas Yehudis, Yotzav Rosha Perua, Rosha Perua, Doraisahi. The Mishnah divided distinguished between Das Moshe, which is Doraisa, and Das Yudis, which are violations of Rabbanon, all of which destroy the marriage, so all of which he loses the Ksuba for, but we put them in separate categories. So how could a Kol Yotze V'Rosh HaPeruah a Das Yehudis, that's a Din Doraisa, Parshas Nasov. A woman has to have her hair covered. So says the Gemara, Tichsev, Uparas Rosh HaYisha, Tad Be'er Shalom, Asol B'Nash Rosh HaYotze V'Rosh Rosh, it's a Pasuk in Parshas Nasov. Says the Gemara, Doraisa Kolsa Shapir Dami. To fulfill the mitzvah Doraisa, the Chiv Doraisa of covering her hair, so a basket on her head is good enough. Das Yehudis, Afilu Kolsa Nami Yasser. But for Das Yehudis, she needs a better covering than that. It can't just be a simple basket on her head. So that's the difference in Das Moshe and Das Yehudis. So Amar Abasi, Amar Biyochanan, Kolsa Inba Mishum Perua Rosh. She says, no. If she has this basket on her head, it's never called Perua Rosh. That's not called her hair is uncovered. Havgar Abizera Hecha, where are we talking about? Ilema Bashuk Das Yehudis Hi, Ve'ala Bachatzer. It says, well, what are you talking about? If it's in a public place, well, then it is Das Yehudis it is a violation of Das Yehudis to only wear the basket in a very public place. If it's in the chatzar that she's not allowed to wear the basket, well, who doesn't do that in a chatzar to just throw the basket on her head? You're not going to leave any girl. No one lives up to your standards of tznius then. So Amar Abayi Vitam Rav Kana Michatzar L'Chatzar V'Derech Mavui. If she's jumping between one yard and the next yard through a semi-public area, so and she only has the kulsa on her head, that's what we're talking about over here. That's the chiddush that he's suggesting. But if it were in a chatzar, all she needs is the kulsa. She only needs the basket on her head. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. All of this is paskin in Shulchan Aruch. If you look in source number 3, Lo selachna b'nasrel p'rus rosh pashuk, achas p'nuya v'achseish v'zish. Well, let's leave out the p'nuya now for now, because that's a whole different discussion. But a woman should not go with her rosh perua, totally uncovered hair, in the shuk. And then the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Ksuvos, in Simu Kuftas Vav, in Ebenezer, Ezu Hidas Yehudis, what is Das Yehudis? It's a minog of tznius that Benos Yisrael have, and these are one of the things, and included is Yotzel L'Shuk, Olam Mavoi Mefulosh, Obechatzah Sharab Mbokimbo. She goes to any sort of public area, even if it is a chatzah, but it's a chatzah that a lot of people go there. V'rosha Pelua, Perua Veinale, Redid, Kikol Anashim, Afalpi Shasar Mechusa B'mitpachos. If her head is not totally covered, even if it's partially covered, that's a violation of Das Yehudis. Now, if it's totally uncovered, again, as we said in the Gemara, that's a violation of Das Moshe. That's a violation of Midaraisa. So in all those cases, she's Teitzei below Ksuba. Now, it should be pointed out, and it's Paskin by all the Poskim this way, if a couple's married for 20 years, and then they get a divorce, and the husband says, I'm not paying your Ksuba, you never covered your hair. And the woman says, what do you mean? I never covered my hair from day one. It didn't bother you on day one, two, three, four. For 20 years it didn't bother you. Now all of a sudden, so if that was the understanding when they got married, it's hard to say that she was destroying the marriage by not covering her hair. I mean, that was the understanding that they had when they got married, that he wasn't makbid about it. Doesn't make it mutter from her perspective. But what it makes it is that you can't say that she destroyed the marriage, meaning that was the understanding of the marriage meikara that it was going to be like that. But be that as it may, we see that there is this chiyuv d'oraisa. Simple reading of the Gemara certainly suggests a chiyuv d'oraisa that a woman has to cover her hair. It's not so pasha that it's a chiyuv d'oraisa. If you read the Rambam writes in source number 5, Yisuri Bir Perchav Al Talach Yitzayin, Lo Yahalchu Benos Yisrael Prurei Rosh Peshuk. A woman should not go perua rosh out in the market. Achas pnuya v'achas eishas ish. V'lo selech isha b'shuk u'b'na achara. G'zer Hashem yitpesu b'na v'telech achara v'lachziru v'yisal bar Hashem shatifsu derech tzchok. And the other thing she can't do is she can't walk with her child behind her. This is based on a Talmudic story. Because someone might grab the child, bring the child into some abandoned place. She'll run after the child to find the child. And then they'll take advantage of her because they have now lured her into this private area. So she should keep an eye on her children. She shouldn't have them behind her. She should have them walk in front of her. But that's clearly a gezeira. The juxtaposition of the Rambam, of these two halachos, seems to suggest that Puri Rosh may only be a din d'rabbanan, and the Rambam certainly doesn't express explicitly that it's d'oraisa, But it would be tough to read that back into the Gemara, because again, the Gemara says Das Moshe. The Gemara says the basic covering is a requirement midas Moshe. So Pasha Pshat is that it is a mitzvah da'oraisa. Now Rav Moshe has a fascinating ha'ara, fascinating insight into how to view this halacha. He says the following chakira. How do we understand this? Is it that she has an isser to uncover her hair, or that she has a mitzvah to cover her hair? L'mayinaf kamina, what's the difference? It's, six of one, half a dozen of the other. She has a mitzvah to cover her hair, or an isser to uncover her hair publicly?
Doesn't this mean there's nothing wrong with it if you don't?
No, there is something wrong if you don't wear tefillin, something wrong if you don't eat matzah, right? Those are all mitzvahs. So in terms of onesh, there would be a difference, but we don't give onshim now anyway. We don't have a basin to give onshim. So there's another nafkamina la'alacha, Rav Moshe talks about. How much money do you have to spend in order to make sure that you're able to do mitzvahs? So when it comes to mitzvahs, I say, hamavazviz alivazviz yosemichomesh, you have to spend up until 20% of your money, no more. Not allowed to spend more. When it comes to a mitzvah los, I say, how much money do you have to spend to avoid violating Shabbos? Everything. Kolon beso, a person has to give up everything. How much money does a woman have to spend? She doesn't need a sheitel. She needs a kerchief also for a couple of dollars. But how much money? That would be the best psak ever if we just all followed that, Rav Vadya's psak. The sheitels are us. The Marmakomas are here, by the way, at the end of this packet also about that. Why who holds sheitels and mutter holds the Ras? Rav Vadya held the Ras. You can't wear. What? We'd have a building, right? So, or at least the mikvah, right? Rav Moshe says that he thinks he could be medayik from Rashi that there's a difference between a woman who's still married and a grusha. The Gemara says that even after a woman gets divorced, she still has to cover her hair. But he says the halacha changes. When she's married, it's an isser for her to go barosha perua. Once she's divorced, so then there's a mitzvah to cover her hair, but there's no isser for her to go barosha perua, which has a huge nafkamina ladina. Let's say a woman has a job that she can't keep that job if she covers her hair. For whatever reason, she's not going to be able to keep that job if she covers her hair. So if she's a divorced woman and she's covering the hair because of the mitzvah, so he says, you don't have to give up your whole livelihood in order to cover your hair. But if it's a din and an isser, you do have to give up your whole livelihood to cover your hair. Shat always tells a story of a rabbi friend of his who used to go to the old Soviet Union to give shiurim and bring Jewish things, tzitzis and tefillin and yarmulkes and whatever, tehillim and sidurim and things like that. And he said he was once giving a class in Russia, and he was learning a Gemara or something, the Gemara Ksubasai and Beis, I guess. They were learning that sugya, that covering the hair. And a woman was in the room, and the woman said, does this apply even nowadays? He wasn't learning halacha l'maaseh. He says, yeah, a lot of women. He was just answering the questions. Yeah, a lot of women cover their hair even nowadays. It's still widely observed halacha. And he came back years later to give a shiur again to bring more things. And he saw that same woman. And someone had told him, you had such an impact on this woman. What do you mean had such an impact on this woman? Well, she was the head of OBGYN in the hospital. And after she heard your shiur, she started covering her hair, so they fired her immediately, and they made her a custodian in the hospital because they needed her around, because when they had complicated cases, they needed her to consult them because she knew better than everybody else. So she's been working as a custodian ever since you came, because the rabbi said, you have to cover your hair, so that's what she did. Unbelievable level of Mesiris Nefesh that this woman had. Now, coming from nothing, from no Torah knowledge, nothing. Just the rabbi said that. That's what they do. That's what you have to. Unbelievable Maisa. Anyway, Rav Moshe makes that chilek that he said, and that's why a lot of times you'll find by divorced women, a lot of times Rabbanim will give heterim, either to uncover it entirely or to partially uncover the hair. Because the nature of the chiyuv changes, and Rav Moshe talks about what if she's not going to find a shidduch. So how much would a woman be willing to spend to be able to find a shidduch? Kolon beisa, she would be willing. I mean, how do you judge? She's not losing money; she's losing a shidduch. She's losing opportunities to meet men, so she can get married. So you'll say, well, what kind of man? The man she should want would want her to be observing the halacha. when people see her with a sheitalon, they don't think of her as eligible, so no one's going to think of her for a shidduch. So she wants to uncover her hair, and because she thinks she's not going to find a shidduch, even if it's just in her head that she thinks that. How much money would a person? How do you? She's not losing any money, but how do you define it? You define it by how much money would a reasonable person spend in order to be able to have that benefit. So women would spend way more than 20% of their money to be able to find the shidduch, to be able to get married. The simcha that a person has, if you ever meet a person who's a little bit older and hasn't gotten married, and they finally, I just spoke to a father of a girl who's, I don't know how old the girl is, but apparently much, much older, and he was telling me, like, he was crying, as he was the thousandth time, he was telling the story, he was crying and crying and crying. It was the greatest simcha in the world for him that the daughter found the shidduch. So that would be reason to perhaps be mekel in that kind of situation.
What's wrong with the woman? I mean, if she's not married, what's wrong with her?
Yeah, so the Gemara says that the chiyuv still applies even after she's divorced. When she was married, the chiyuv still applies. What?
Another share?
Yeah, I mean, the Gemara says that the chiyuv still applies. Rav Moshe tries to be medayik that it's a different chiyuv, that now it's a mitzvah, it's not an iser anymore. Now. Yeah, meaning the Inesh's Ish is as a Chiv D'Oraisa. It's only Chiv D'Rabbanon for an Alman or for a Grusha. So maybe, it's not that the Chiv changes. The way Moshe says it is that it's two Deos, and since it's a Safek, when it's a D'Oraisa, when covering her is D'Oraisa, we have to be Machmir Misafek. So when she's married, it's D'Oraisa, so we need to be Machmir. Once she's divorced or widowed, so then it's only Chiv D'Rabbanan, so we could be Mekel on that Safek, on Safek D'Rabbanan, and assume that it's only a mitzvah, and therefore if she has this need that equals more than Chomesh Nechasim. Now, Rav Shturmach has this concept, this notion that covering there is another issue in Halacha as well, and that is that it's a violation of Chukas Akum. It's a violation of Chukas Seyem Lo Selechu for a woman not to cover her hair. He says, anything that the Akum or Noeg L'Shem Pritzos, the Ramah writes in Yaradeya, is an Isser Lav of B'chukaseim Lo Selechu. So he says, why isn't this a perfect example of something that the Ovdei Chachamim are Noeg Mishum Pritzos? So Rav Avadia has a long discussion, Yabi Omer, where he tries to show that that's not the case. That Chukas Akum is something, it's not a lack of a Hanhaga. Chukas Akum is it's a Hanhaga. It's something Dafka that they wear, something Dafka that they do, L'Shem Pritzos. But to say the fact that they don't cover their hair, why would they cover their hair? I mean, it's not something that they would even have a hamami. So it's hard to call that chukas akum. Their lack of a head covering, chukas akum. But that's a machlokas of contemporary poskim. Poskim also discuss in some detail the different areas where she can have her hair uncovered and where she needs to keep it covered. Chassam Sofer has a very strict reading of it. He assumes that even in the house, she has to have her hair covered, which again is a very tough read back into the Gemara, because the Gemara said by the Chatzar even that if it's partially covered, lo yinachta basla avram avinu, everyone at least keeps it only partially covered in the Chatzar. So it's Rav Moshe is a little more makel. Rav Moshe says in the home, again assuming, Rav Moshe always assumes, he doesn't say it explicitly, but assumes that if there's anybody else in the home who's not part of the family, well, then it's clear that the chiyuv would apply. Okay, we didn't get all that far, but it's all here. If you want to take the packet home, you can learn a lot. Okay.